Pastor Bob said, we are Dan and Angela Kirk. I grew up here in Upper St. Clair Alliance Church, and so this is my home, and we're just so thankful for how you, many of you, have supported us through giving and through prayer through these years. I remember some of the old saints here, like Doris Leeper, who is now gone, but I would get letters from her while I was in college saying that she was praying for me. And so if you pray for us, thank you. We want to thank you. If you are giving to support our family, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you guys so much, and it's great to be here with you this morning. As you can see in the picture, we have five kids: Andrew, Abigail, Anna, Aaron, and Ava Grace. And we are now living in a little town called Clarkston, Georgia, which Angela is going to share with you a little bit about.
Yes, Clarkston is a small town, but it is located inside of Atlanta. So we do live in the big city. Dan felt like he'd come home after being raised in Pittsburgh. He enjoyed the transition to the big city of Atlanta. Clarkston is a 1.7 square mile area on the northeast corner of Atlanta, and it is home to over 18,000 legally resettled refugees from places all over the world, war-torn countries, places where missionaries can't go. We have friends from Syria and Afghanistan and the Congo and Bhutan and many places, Rwanda, that you might have heard of in the news for very painful situations that they have experienced: war, famine, persecution in their own countries, and they have come to the United States legally to be resettled here to start a new life in safety and comfort. And the United Nations High Council on Refugees chose Clarkston because of its proximity within Atlanta. It has public transportation. There are about 38 apartment complexes within the small perimeter of Clarkston, so there is plenty of housing. They say it's affordable. It is pretty expensive, but and then there are many entry-level jobs. The chicken factories are one of the major employers of our refugee friends. There's also hospitality within Atlanta. A lot of the food service, there's seafood companies and things like that. They tend to work third shift jobs that many Americans don't really want. And so they have these basic necessities that make Clarkston a wonderful place for refugees to be resettled.
So with Envision Atlanta, where the organization that we're serving with, which is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, we do many different things. Church planting is the tip of the iceberg. We're teaching English. We are doing youth programs. We are doing after-school care for children. We now have a farm. Everything that we're doing, though, we want to funnel down to relationships. There's a passage in Romans 12 that I want to read to you quickly. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. As I was studying that passage one day, it struck me. In the original Greek, Paul uses two words here that are very important. The first is, You probably have heard, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is brotherly love. But the word that you might not have heard is very similar. It's Philoxenia. And Philoxenia means loving the stranger. You probably haven't heard that word, but you might have heard the word xenophobia, which is fear of strangers or fear of foreigners. But in this passage, Paul is literally saying, love the brothers, Philadelphia, and this word given to hospitality is philoxenia, love the strangers. And in Envision Atlanta, we're trying to bring these two together to love the brothers, love the fellow believers that are around us, but also loving the refugees, loving the strangers, so that everything that we do, whether it's door-to-door evangelism or ESL or youth ministry or after school, we want everything to funnel down to loving our neighbor and building relationships. And then out of that comes opportunities to share the gospel, to plant churches, to plant house churches.
One of the new opportunities that we've had to love the stranger has come with COVID. I had a house church for children that I was leading. Most of these children, their parents don't speak English. In March of 2020, when the schools shut down, one of these kids grabbed his mom's phone and texted me and said, "Miss Angela, what's going on? I don't understand. The bus isn't coming to pick us up. What's happening?" And I realized very quickly how confusing this had been to us as Americans and English-speaking people, and how much more confusing this would be to people who don't speak English, that all these emails we were getting from the school system and the news reports and things, these were all hard for us to understand. And our refugee friends were in a really difficult spot of not being clear what was going on. So as I continued a little text conversation with my sweet little Congolese boy, he said, we don't have food in the house. We're not allowed to leave the house, and we don't have food. And, you know, they have a family I know that's 12 people. And so I felt like the Lord very clearly said, do something, Angela. Of course, I have this fear running through my head of, well, what if I don't do the right thing? Yes, I know that there are people that are confused and hungry right now because they get most of the kids get their nutrition from the schools. They have breakfast and lunch at school, and without going to school, especially not being prepared for this, they didn't have things stored up for their families, and they didn't have Wi-Fi, and they don't have computers, and so they were just really in a bad situation. But I was afraid of starting because I was afraid, what if I did the wrong thing? What if I brought food to the wrong household and somebody next door was really, really hungry? And the Lord clearly told me, actually through Ava Grace, our youngest, brought in a Bible one morning when I was thinking through this and asking the Lord, what do I do? I hear you saying, do something. What do I do? And Dan and I had started praying together, and a couple other people from Envision Atlanta had started, we need to do something. So we agreed to pray for 24 hours and then to come together with what was it that we should do. And during that time, Ava Grace opened the children's Bible and read to me the story of Esther. She was just sitting on the floor in the kitchen reading to me. And when she got to the part, that for such a time as this, it was like, all right, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. You brought us here to Clarkston. You gave us relationships with refugees for this time where they would really need us as English-speaking Americans that love them and love Jesus to step up and do something to help them. And so we started making lunches. One church out of the blue sent $1,000 to Envision Atlanta and said, I figure you're probably going to need to do something during COVID to to help your refugee friends. And Pete Brockup, our director, said, okay, Angela, you've got this. This is your budget. Go do something. And so we started with making lunches for the 25 kids that we had in the Children's House Church. Pretty quickly we realized that for every child that was in the Kids House Church, there were probably five or six others in their household of their siblings, and we couldn't just deliver. So day one, we delivered 25 lunches. Day two, we delivered 100 lunches. Day three, it was 160 lunches, and quickly got out of hand. And the Lord gave us an opportunity with Envision Atlanta to have a relationship then through another organization in Clarkston. Envision Atlanta just happened to have purchased a property that was a house with a warehouse on it. Our intention was to turn the warehouse into after-school classrooms for children, but we had been denied permits from the city of Clarkston. And so my prayer going into 2020 was that the Lord would grant us favor with the city government in Clarkston. And now here we were. We had this warehouse. And another organization in Clarkston called Friends of Refugees, they had a relationship with the Atlanta Community Food Bank, but they didn't have a warehouse. And so the Lord orchestrated it to where the Atlanta Community Food Bank started delivering 10,000 pounds of food to us at our warehouse. And other organizations in Clarkston are coming to us to pick up food, and we deliver food now every Tuesday to approximately 500 homes in Clarkston. There are approximately 2,000 people that are eating each week because of this relationship that we have with the Atlanta Food Bank, because the Lord provided for us, because the Lord spoke, because he gave us what we needed to meet the economic crisis at the time. So we've also moved into rent assistance. We have a lot of people that are third shift hourly wage workers. And when they get sick, they have no money coming in. When they get behind, they don't have reserves to be able to pick up. And so many of them have gotten behind on rent. And even though there have been some rulings that to stop evictions for a time, their money that they owe adds up. And so because of churches, because of individuals who have given to Envision Atlanta, we have been able to keep about 120 families in their homes over this past year and just helping them with rent assistance. And when we do this, we have an opportunity to go into their homes, to speak to them, to love them in Jesus' name. Many of them ask, why are you doing this for me? And we get an opportunity to tell them about Jesus.
So this is a picture of some of the guys from our youth group. As I said before, we are using everything that we do to funnel down into relationships. And through relationships, have an opportunity to share the gospel, to do evangelism, and then to disciple. And that's what we're doing with many of these young men. We're discipling them, and out of that, to form house churches. COVID threw a wrench into our plans, just like it did to all of yours. Many of the house churches that we had established, where we were meeting regularly, we had to quit for a time. We tried meeting on Zoom with many of the leaders, and as you know, Zoom gets old pretty quick. So we've had to adapt, but one of the things that's really neat that happened over 2020 really ties into what Angela was sharing about with the food ministry and the economic relief. We got to partner with different organizations, and that opened the door to a whole new set of people that we were really not rubbing shoulders with. That's the Muslim community in Clarkston. So the local mosque actually came to us and asked us, can you help us feed our people during Ramadan? we would normally have them come to the mosque, but we hear that the food bank is giving you guys food. Can you help us? And so we said, sure. And through that, got to build some relationships with some of the key leaders in the mosque that I'm still meeting with. One of them said to me, Daniel, I could come and eat at your house. And I said, that's great. I'd be honored to have you come eat at my house. But as I was thinking about that, what he was really saying is, I see that you're a man of faith, that you believe in God, and that you're following him. And because a Muslim would tell you, they're not allowed to eat with an unbeliever. They're not to go into the house of someone that they consider unclean. So he was saying, I see in you something that resonates with me. And I've gotten to tell him about Jesus. And so you can pray that the Lord would continue to open doors for Muslims. This is the high-hanging fruit in Clarkston. And it's just so amazing that God would use something like COVID-19 to open doors for us that weren't open before. It's beautiful.
Yes, and COVID has also given us an amazing opportunity to disciple interns. Previously, one of my responsibilities was coordinating summer internships for college-age students. Through COVID, with people not being able to travel abroad, now the Lord is opening doors. People are seeing that we have an opportunity to reach the nations because God has brought them here to the United States. So even when people cannot travel abroad, they're still able to minister cross-culturally in Clarkston. And because Envision Atlanta already had an internship program that was set up and fairly strong, we've now partnered with many universities, and currently I've got 8 interns that are in, some from Toccoa Falls College, Liberty University, Crown College. We have many now that are coming to Envision Atlanta, and they are having this opportunity to pray with Muslims. They're having opportunities to share their faith with people that they would not have been able to do so without some form of door opening through COVID. We in turn are pouring into them. So we are identifying young leaders for the church, for the world, and discipling them, mentoring them, and then sending them out. Just before we left to travel up here, we sent out an intern. We did a going away party for a young lady who is going to serve Syrian refugees in another country. So it's very exciting for Dan and I to be spiritual parents for these young people that come to us.
Yeah, and as many of you may know, some of you may not know, for several years after I went down to Raleigh from here as a mechanical engineer, and the Lord called me into ministry, and I served as a youth pastor. And so youth have always been very near and dear to my heart. And one of the cool things that we get to do, that I get to do, is help out with the local youth group in a CMA church that we attend. And from time to time, I get to speak. And oftentimes, I bring kids from Clarkston with me. There was a family that the father passed away. He left behind 8 children. And one of them, I was his camp counselor. And so I developed a really strong friendship, relationship with this young man. He's 12 years old. We had brought him and his siblings to our house a couple of times. He knew that I go to youth group on Wednesday, and he said, Mr. Dan, I want you to pick me up this Wednesday and take me to youth group with you. And so I got to bring him, And it just so happened that that Wednesday was the Wednesday before a big youth retreat that we had in North Carolina. And he said, "Mr. Dan, I want to go on this youth retreat with you." And so he was able to come, and just, it was wonderful to see how the Lord worked in his life through this opportunity to go to this youth retreat. And even at one point, he was sitting by himself, and I could see he was upset. And I just went over and got to talk to him and minister to him about the loss of his dad. It was beautiful. But we enjoy getting to speak to youth groups, to support local church ministries. And we want to see not just envision to grow in terms of house churches, but we want to see all the churches in the area thriving.
Yes, and we wanted to give you some updates as well on maybe some things. I know there have been people from your church that have come and experienced ministry with us in Clarkston. One of our favorite people in Clarkston, she's kind of the grandma of all of Clarkston, is Mama Amina. And Mama Amina has been just a wonderful example. She actually, her testimony is recorded by the CMA and has just recently been released, if you get a chance to see that. But Mama Amina was recently in a car accident, and she is now in a wheelchair. She's 93 years old and still quite a firecracker, but she is a kind of a one-stop place for other refugees to come and get help. And so she loves Envision Atlanta because she's always sending people to us. You know, "I have this family that needs this. I have this family that needs this." And she calls me quite often. She calls me her Angela 911. But some of you have been able to serve her. And the interns and people that I have, we're now doing laundry for Mama Amina, doing all kinds of things, cleaning her house. But she has given us opportunities to serve people that we wouldn't have normally gotten an opportunity to serve. She had me serving food at the inaugural banquet for the new mayor in Clarkston. So as my prayer that the Lord would grant us favor with the city of Clarkston and the city leaders in Clarkston, partially through Mama Amina, but God has his beautiful ways through COVID-19. The city of Clarkston, now the city council and the city manager and the new mayor, all love Envision Atlanta and are willing to do whatever it takes to help us serve the community. So it's really been a sweet switch and something that only God could do, especially to that extreme amount. But please continue to pray for Mama Amina. She's got some health concerns. She's got things going on that are difficult for her. And she loves us well, but also needs a lot of love, too.
So, Envision Acres Farm is come into reality. The last time that we were here and spoke at Upper St. Clair Alliance Church, I came with Abby and spoke in October 2019. Before that, when we were here together, was Christmas time 2018. And at that message, we asked you to pray for the Gari people, an unreached, unengaged people group that is in Clarkston. And I said that one of the ways that we want to make inroads into this community is through camel's milk. And I asked you to pray that the Lord would somehow give us a way to have a farm to milk camels. Well, that has come into reality. The Lord provided all of the money that we needed to buy this 60-acre farm outright. It's about 25 minutes outside of Clarkston, so it's an easy drive. And We have already gotten some goats, and we plan to raise goats as a means of, there's a business that the business plan is to rent out these goats to eat kudzu and weeds in people's yards, but also to make products from the goat's milk. And so that's the first step. And then through the revenues generated by that, we're planning on getting some camels. We should have camels in the next year. And so continue to pray. This has been a tool that's been used elsewhere in the U.S. To make a huge inroads into the Muslim community. They love camel's milk. And it's also been shown through some studies to have a positive effect on autism. And so some really cool stuff. And so pray for us. Pray as we continue to move forward that the Lord would guide, that the Lord would continue to provide, and we're just praise the Lord with us.
Yes, and that's something that we really value in your church family is your commitment to pray for us as a family, to pray for God's will to be done, to pray for Envision Atlanta, and for the ministries that even that kind of crazy ones like a farm with camels on it, that we believe in faith that God is going to use to reach the people of Clarkston to see his kingdom come. So when you think about, you know, how can you be involved? You know, this church is a partner church with our family, with Envision Atlanta. The most important thing that you can do is pray. We have seen these miracles, like being able to buy a farm outright in cash during COVID, when everybody, you know, ministries are shutting down, things, you know, the Lord miraculously provided, and it was actually pretty difficult to find a farm land that would be zoned correctly for camels. It's a little strange, but there are all kinds of intricacies, and this farm that God provided for us is everything that we need it to be, and it's beautiful. So continue to pray. You know, the Lord also granted us that favor with the city of Clarkston that was just, they were denying everything a year ago that we asked. And now they're asking us for favors and willing to do whatever we need. So they'll bend over backwards for us in just a year's time. So this is another miracle from God. But I will say, when we're dealing with the people that are struggling to pay their rent, that have injuries, that have issues and sicknesses that they can't get back into work, or single moms that have experienced untold trauma that now are having to work nights and be up all night to be home with their children during the day, you know, my heart breaks. Dan and I struggle to keep our eyes focused on God, that the miracle worker. So pray with us that God will continue to work miracles, that he would work miracles in the lives of these people. One of our teammates told us today that she prayed over this Muslim family. They have a big need, and she prayed, and she asked us to pray with her that God would miraculously provide a solution for this problem in Jesus' name, that he would be glorified. God gets the glory when he does these miracles in the lives of people, that especially things that just don't seem possible. Pray with us. Pray for us. We love you, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the way that you have given to our ministry. We raise our own support to be in Clarkston serving refugees, doing things that they could never afford to pay us for. They need someone to navigate the system with them. They need friendship. They need Jesus. They need the things that we have to offer, though we're not special in and of ourselves. We have the power of Christ in us. We have the love of Jesus in us, and that allows us to serve others well. But you make it possible by helping to provide for our salary so that we have money to live on, to be able to pay for this sweet boy to go to camp at the last minute because he wants to go on the middle school retreat. And we have a budget for that because you allow us that. So please continue to give. We are honored and humbled and blessed by your gifts. I'd also recommend that you learn. Learn about, when you read God's word, he has a lot to say about his heart for the foreigner, for the stranger. You know, as Dan was sharing with you earlier, you know, that this loving, welcoming the stranger is God's heart. And it wasn't until I really got opened my eyes to the refugee crisis that as I read God's word now, it just comes alive off of the page. So learn what you can about refugees. Go to the United Nations High Council on Refugees webpage. Learn what you can there too. It's a fascinating and huge problem in the world today. And I'd love for you to get God's heart for these people as well. And the fourth thing we'd like you to do is come. Some of you have, and we thank you for that. Come back. You know, Mama Amina wants to see you. But come, we interns, anyone over 18 can come for between 1 month and 11 months as an intern. And we would love to be able to share the beauty of Clarkston, the beauty of the diversity with you when you're there. So thank you for this opportunity to let us come to you. And we look forward to when you can come to us.
Yes. I want to just close with a brief story about an Iraqi man that had helped the U.S. military in Iraq. He became a target himself. He was working as an interpreter, traveling with special forces. He was in a Humvee where they ran over a mine, and his leg his hip was damaged, and not to the point where he couldn't walk, but you could see he was limping, and he said to one of my fellow church planters and I don't want anything to do with Islam anymore. I've seen too much killing in the name of Islam. I want to hear about your Jesus. And so we said, okay, let's talk. And we got to share the gospel with him. And on that same visit, I got an opportunity to pray for him. And I prayed specifically that the Lord would heal his hip and show him his glory. And when I was done praying, you know, it was not a faith-filled prayer. I was kind of begging God under my breath, Lord, do something. Show up here. Show this guy that you have power. And as I finished praying, all of a sudden, he jumped up and started doing this and kind of dancing around the room. And he looked at me and said, you will pray for me like that every time you come to my house. God still has power, and he is still doing miracles today. And he's doing them right here on U.S. soil in Clarkston. So as Angela said, we invite you to come and see it for yourself. Come and minister with us. And we thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support. May God bless you, and I just want to pray a blessing over this church. Thank you, Lord, for Upper St. Clair Alliance Church. Thank you, Lord, that this was the place that I first heard the gospel and that I got baptized here. And, Lord, that you laid a foundation in my life of your word that never left. And Lord, that you used, even in the years where I was seeking my own things, my own pleasure, you wouldn't let me rest. And Lord, I thank you for Upper St. Clair Alliance Church. I pray your blessing upon Pastor Bob. I pray your blessing upon the leaders here, that they would clearly receive direction from you, that their ears would be opened. And I pray, Lord, for the whole congregation, that their eyes would be opened, that they would know the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power in us who believe. that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in us, his church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name.